Well, I think we can probably go ahead and get started. My name's Jim Lucy. I'm on the Office 365 marketing team. My whole job, I focus on academic institutions and our Office 365 education offering. And I'd say that 95%+ of my job is working through some of the upgrades that we're doing for schools. And, you know, I know it's late in the day. I appreciate you guys coming. It's great to see a lot of people interested in the education offering. I did this session in New Orleans, and there was a ton of schools there. And given that it's 3 in the afternoon, it's usually siesta time, I am still getting used to eating dinner at 10 p.m., so this is the time of day where I start to wane off, so hopefully I won't drop you guys there. Raise your hand if you are with an academic institution. Okay. And raise your hand if you are a partner that helps schools. Okay, cool. So I have a number of topics that I'll talk about here today because if it were up to me, I'd have multiple sessions to talk about some of these things specific to schools. But given the limited resources and scheduling and things like that, I have one session that I could focus on academic institutions. And I decided to squeeze in as much as I could. So I'm going to spend half the session talking about Office 365 education. And you know, if you're moving there, if you're not on Office 365 and you're looking to move there, this is, you know, a great quick overview. That'll be about 30 minutes. I'll integrate a demo in there. The second half is focused on upgrades. And a number of you are probably, raise your hand if you are going through an upgrade or have recently been through one. Okay. So just a few hands. So as we get to that portion, if that's not interesting to you or you're not interested in that topic, I'm not going to be offended if you kind of excuse yourself and find another session that might be more relevant to you. So just keep it real here. It's going to be 200 level. I'm going to go through kind of surface level and talk about some of these things. I'm able to answer questions. If I'm not, I know who to talk to, and I can get some information and get back with you. I will follow up right after this. I'll go straight down to the Office 365 booth. So if you have some deeper questions that you wanted to chat about, I'm happy to wait and talk down there with you. Okay. So the reason I'm here is to talk about the new Office. Listening, you know, reading articles, technology magazines for education, talking to schools, you know, it's pervasive, the amount of technology that's coming into the school systems. And, you know, I graduated a long, long time ago, and I can't, you know, just having a computer was kind of like a luxury. Now it's kind of expected, and a lot of the apps that you're doing, connecting to the cloud and so forth. But at the heart of all this are really the educators inside the classroom. Inside those four walls, they rule the education of those students. And really, when it comes down to it, the purpose of an academic institution is to provide a quality education. And I think we agree on that. And what the educators inside those four walls want to do is to provide the best education possible for their students. They want to be innovative. They want to be unique. They want to do it things their way. They want to have access to the tools that they think is going to give them that edge to best educate their students. And so they're looking at how they can use these applications. They might not even know they exist, but how they can get integrated and help provide that education. On the other side, you have the IT administrators, which I'm assuming for the majority is everybody in this room, where you're looking at all this technology and how to integrate it into the school IT infrastructure with, you know, making sure that security, compliance are, you know, part of that, privacy of the students' data, things like that, that teachers don't always think about, that you're having to take the holistic perspective and looking at your IT infrastructure and integrating these applications. So I am here really to talk about Office and what Office 365 and our Office applications are bringing to help schools give a better quality education and help keep them connected, is really to look at these things and what we're offering. So looking at our devices, students are bringing their own devices now, whether it's their smartphone, whether it's an iPad or any other tablet device, or they have their machine. You know, they're in the classroom, they might take notes on their tablet, They're walking from a class. They're looking at their calendar and schedule and using touch to access their calendar and see where they need to be next. But when they get to their dorm room or their apartment or their house, wherever they're going, that they can work on their assignments in a rich application. Also, looking at really focusing on Windows 8 and building very optimized applications for Windows 8, the Office apps for Windows 8, OneNote, Link, things like that. But we're also, we know that in schools, there's a pervasive amount of Apple devices, Macs, things like that. But building some of that support for those applications across iOS and Android, we have Link and OneNote available in those operating environments now, and we just announced, I believe, a few weeks ago, Office for iOS coming out soon. So that's all exciting, where we're going to have these optimized experiences on the Office platform for those devices. And then looking at the cloud, we just came out with Office 365, our Office 365 On Demand, our subscription option. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on a separate slide since it's kind of new and there might be some questions there. We have this new cloud app model. And this isn't just for partners to build apps to help integrate. You can build your own apps too. These apps, they're built on HTML, Java, kind of simple that way, and they're built right into the Office experience. I'll show you some of that in my demo. And then also we have Office 365 enterprise-grade reliability. We have a 99.9% financially backed service SLA. Obviously, if we have a free offering for academic institutions, our Office 365 A2 SKU, it is free. That doesn't mean you're going to get money back if we have an outage. That would be nice. It would be a great business model, I'm sure, for you guys. But you know, the point being here is that schools are on the same multi-tenant infrastructure that we have businesses on, and they are getting reimbursed. So when there's an outage, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is, and we need to get it back up as quick as possible, and it's very serious to us. And so us learning, Microsoft learning from any outage and helping prevent those happening in the future is important to us. And even though it's a free academic offering, you're benefiting from the reliability and the expectations that we have for ourselves, even with businesses. Then we have on the social side, you know, kids are bringing it, they're on Facebook, probably not LinkedIn at such a young age as they get into college and beyond LinkedIn. You know, just other social networking sites. And just we're looking to build that social integration throughout the Office applications. As you're in Outlook, maybe you can view a Facebook feed for somebody that you're connected with, their contacts, things like that. As we look to integrate Yammer and Skype and things like that into the experience. Also, with Link and Skype having multi-party high-def video that you can have conversations with. Or if you're looking at doing distance learning, things like that, maybe you have your classroom over the web and the classroom is in that Link experience. And then finally, looking at your IT infrastructure, you have demands from an IT staff that teachers don't. The school may get subpoenaed for information that you have to supply information on a individual in the university or school system, that being able to provide that information through eDiscovery Console. We also have data loss prevention capabilities that help you protect sensitive information. If you're a research institution and that information is, you know, letting it outside your walls, your firewall is sensitive, that having the DLP policies built in. And then finally here, having a management experience across all of the Office apps. Managing SharePoint looks the same as managing Exchange, which looks the same as managing Link, or maybe your antivirus spam protection, things like that. It's one console where you manage all those, not separate windows, separate tools, separate applications, to have a one holistic management experience. Okay. Take a sip. So one question I get I take it for granted because I know it's in Office 365, but I take it for granted that some people are like, okay, I hear Office 365, what really is it? And at the end of the day, it's these services. So we have Office 365 Professional Plus. That's really where you get Excel, Word, PowerPoint, OneNote, Outlook, Visio, Project, all these applications bundled as part of the offering. And I'm going to talk about that more. We actually have a subscription model where it can actually deploy quickly and simply down to your machine and actually update in the background. I'll talk about that more. Link is really about having IM in presence and being able to have multi-party video conferences with other users in your organization. You're having just normal conversation. A lot of people use IM as their primary source of communication. So using that there. There's a rich contact card as part of Link, and that's integrated throughout all the Office experience. You can get this rich contact card in Outlook, from SharePoint, things like that as you're looking up specific individuals. On the SharePoint side, down in the bottom left there, really that's about storing documents, being able to collaborate on documents in a single location. No more having everybody edit the same document, pass it around, and then you've got to look at all the different variations and kind of edit that. Have the document in one place. Let users edit the document in the same place so the person who owns it can see all the edits in a single place and accept and change them in that one place. We also have, as part of SharePoint, which is SkyDrive Pro, it's the ability for users to have their own kind of My Site to store their own documents, to talk about themselves, to log things that are their favorites, documents and people that they're following. So we have 7 gig storage for all users on Office 365. Exchange Online, this is where my background is mostly. I worked with Exchange for quite some time. But really, this is your email experience. Having email, calendar, contacts, and tasks. Voicemail message. Voicemail if you want to add unified messaging in your infrastructure. But being able to get that. Having a personal archive to archive documents, emails, and things like that. Having pretty good retention policies and being able to apply them to sets of users or all users in your organization. And then again, at the very bottom, it comes with Office 365 comes with 25 gig mailboxes for those users. So that's a brief look at what Office 365 is. I wanted to take a moment here and talk about Office Pro Plus. And this is really the ability to, as a subscription of Office, to quickly and easily install that down onto your machine or machines. And as part of the service, we do upgrades in the background. While you're even working on the application, it'll just stream in the background. No more having to stop your Office app and then restart it after you're done, things like that. It'll just keep up to date in the background. We have a click-to-run capability in the bottom left, which is really just the quick install of the application on the desktop. You can access Office on demand, for example, at this conference, while we likely have Office installed on all the kiosks out there. You may be at an internet cafe or at another conference that does not have Office. That won't stop you from accessing your Office 365 portal, seeing all the documents you've been working on and opening them and working them in a rich environment. So if you're working on a thesis paper or something like that, just open the Word doc. It'll actually stream down Word in the background into memory, and it uses our AppV capabilities to do that. It stores it in memory. It runs Word right there. You can edit the document, save it back up to your portal, and move on with your day. As soon as you log off that machine, it pretty much erases Word from memory on that machine and so forth. So again, we make it easy to save documents in the cloud, being able to access rich Office apps no matter where you're at. And just circling around, talking about some of these things, and looking at what we provide capabilities for identity, messaging, video, content management, social, and reporting and analytics, which I kind of just went over, not in those exact words, but looking at your school infrastructure, you have learning management systems, maybe Blackboard, Moodle, things like that. You have student information systems, ERP applications. You're building into your registration system. You're trying to manage grant where professors want to get grants from the local federal government, things like that, and helping them with the process. There's applications that help them do that. But building those into your infrastructure and being able to attach onto it, we have very rich APIs with Exchange Online Web Services. SharePoint has their own set of APIs and so forth that you can build apps on top of there. For example, a student goes in to register for next semester's courses. Wouldn't it be great if they go select their classes, they hit OK, that's exactly what I want, save them. The system in the background sends a meeting request on behalf of the professor for each of those courses, that it puts it right on their calendar for the next semester. The location of the class is there, it's owned by the professor, has all the pertinent information, it's on that student's calendar. If any updates happen in the future, the professor can manage them and send updates out. So anyway, a lot of integration capabilities. There's a lot of partners building these capabilities in with Office 365, and you probably know about the ones local to your area better than I do. But we're always looking to help build very unique scenarios in education, or maybe it's finance or retail, and you know, different vertical areas of businesses around the world. So I'm going to take a second and do a quick demo. Okay, my machine went to sleep. Just a sec. Okay, so I'm Katie Jordan here, not really, fictitiously, promise. Katie Jordan, she's in Outlook Web App. This is the new Outlook Web App with our new Office 365 service. Some of you may know it as Wave 15, but this is the new Outlook Web App. In here, some of the capabilities, which I think are cool, is I talked about the new Office development model. In this particular email, it has an address of someplace they want to meet. Now, what I would normally do is copy that, open up Bing Maps or Google Maps or whatever, paste the address in there, and then view it. That takes time to go and open another window. You have two windows open. It took time to copy, paste. But with the apps, it's context sensitive. It looks at the string, and it enables an application built based on that string. In this case, we can load the Bing Map right there in the preview pane of the window, and they won't have to move around. And I can, you know, kind of see, zoom in, zoom out, and have some touch capability right here in the preview pane. It just so happened that this email message had a reference to, hey, would you like to meet, or a meeting, or let's get together. So another app that's in here is the ability to schedule a meeting. And it makes it easy for you to just go ahead and quickly send a meeting request. This one looks at the next most recent time available for these two individuals on their calendars. Now, as a comparison, if I go to a random other email message, this one didn't have any text that brought up an app, so there's no apps loaded on this one. The apps only show if it's relevant to that specific email message. Where this might become beneficial for schools is you could integrate maybe your registration system somehow, where if hey, I got my classes for the next semester, if they're talking about those things, you can look at keywords that are in the conversation and load the app. Maybe it's linked to your registration system that immediately shows all the classes that they're scheduled for next semester in one quick view. Another thing I wanted to show is things to make it easier for the user to be more productive right in the user interface here is like having to reply. If I go in here, have an inline edit reply, sure, I'll be there. But I'm going to move off this message. You can see where the message is up above. It says draft. It's kind of great because you get, at least I do, and I know some of my coworkers in the room probably can vouch for this, that I kind of get preoccupied on message. I move from one message, I haven't quite finished it, and another priority comes in my inbox, and I'm working on that. I sometimes forget what the last message is that I was working on, but I can see in my list view here that all the messages that I have that are in draft mode, and it highlights there. So I'll just go and click back on it, and you know, I can continue editing. So there, I'm just going to discard it really quick. Okay, so I can also go, because it's linked and connected with all the other Office 365 services, I can go and look at some of the SharePoint sites that I'm a member of. KDJ, in this particular case, she is working on a project for a class, one of her classes, and she has a group of people she's working on it with, this Northwind Traders fictitious project. When there, they have control of how they want to organize things. They have their, they put a little calendar thing, a little timeline of when they need to have deliverables available. It looks like coming up, they need to receive approval from their professor that they can go along with this specific outline of this project. The users can, the students can actually communicate back and forth to each other in this news feed. They can list, keep all the documents that they've been working on in a single location, and everybody editing it in a single location. You can even pop open and hover over right here. If I click, it actually brings up a little inline window of the Office web app for that. This is a Word document, so it shows Word web app. If I click down, let's see, I think I got a PowerPoint. So it brings up PowerPoint web app. I don't have to open up the full application to see it. I just can take a quick view and I can, you know, thumb through the slides. Okay, yeah, this was the document that I was working on, and then go to edit that. On the flip side, if I look at the full rich version, this is Outlook. There's other cool things, capabilities in here where we have these little peaks. I don't have to switch views to look for people. I have my favorite people listed right here in a little hover and peek. And I can even click on them and bring up a rich contact card where I can see more information about that person. Same thing with calendar. There's little peak views where I don't have to go to my calendar. I can, hey, what's going on next week, this time next week, I can kind of see. Or I can actually click on that day and open the full window from there if I want to dig down deeper. Now here's my calendar. We've even taken the step in Office 2013 to actually integrate, you know, looking at your location, that it, you know, puts the weather for the next few days for that location, which is kind of cool. But, you know, you can kind of get a very good view. This is the month view. I can switch to week view and different things like that. Let me flip back over here. What else am I going to show you here? So we're, the unique thing about some of the things we've done, we have this concept called site mailboxes. And there was a session, I believe, yesterday on site mailboxes. If you didn't get to see it, you can get deeper on this one specific topic, where I showed you the Northwind Traders project that Katie's working on and all the documents that were there. She can also access it in Outlook. If Outlook is her primary place where she likes to do work, she can gain access to those documents right here in Outlook as well. She can open them, edit them. She can even drag new documents right here in the preview pane, and they'll show up in the SharePoint library as well. So very cool. One thing I wanted to show you is where I talked about like a registration system. As you're building the classes for the next semester, why didn't you automatically provision SharePoint pages for each of those classes? In this case, Katie is actually in Marketing 302. So when she got provisioned as a user, she automatically got added onto the SharePoint site for Marketing 302. And because it's a site mailbox, it automatically shows an Outlook for her so she can quickly access documents. In this particular case, there's also an inbox specific to it. The teacher, Robin Counts, actually sent a, hey, welcome, blah, 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 blah. You can view the course syllabus on our website. I just want to flip over. There's only a few documents in this particular SharePoint site. But the teacher provided a link to the class. She can go and click on that and, again, get to the same SharePoint site for that. She can see students in the class communicating. Robin can, you know, she's available. Maybe she's not at her desk all the time, her office, but students can still interact with her and ask questions pertinent to that class. to help them feel engaged and connected. Okay, and then one last thing I wanted to show you here from, you know, from a security, a data loss prevention standpoint. Let's say you are a research institution, and you are concerned about sensitive data leaving the institution, or private information about individuals. So I can go in here, create a new email message. I want to send it to my entire Northwind Traders project team, and I'm going to attach a file. This is an Excel spreadsheet that contains fictitious user information, including fictitious credit cards. Now, because there's a DLP policy set on the exchange server for the organization that it flags, and up at the top, it immediately popped up. It says policy tip, and those in the back, I'll just read this for you if it's too small. I don't have a Zoom app to zoom on here. The message may contain sensitive information. Your organization won't allow this message to be sent. Northwind Traders is not authorized to receive this email. To send this message, you must override your organization's policy, which in this case, it's a very hard policy, and the IT administrator does not allow this type of message sent. Katie says, screw you. I'm going to send it again anyway. But it is a hard policy, and it actually pops up and says, hey, your organization won't allow you to send this message. You cannot send it. Sorry. So the only way she'll be able to send it is if she removes that document from the email message. Okay? Fire away. The extensions?
Yeah.
So the question is, what file types do the policies work with? And we can read our transport rules. It's all based on transport rules. Can read inside Office apps, so Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Are there any others? A message file, things like that, but not a PDF. You know, if you had a JPEG or some graphic, we can't read the text in the graphic, but good question. That's a great question. We can try it real quick. I've got time.
Does this feature work in the web app as well?
Yes. These policies go across the web apps as well. So I'm going to Control C, Control V. And I still think, how do I change the extension? If I can't see the extension, I have to change the file type, right?
You should go to view and then view the extension. The
Admit. View. Help me out here. There we go. Okay. So just XXX. Change a file type extension, it may be unusable. Okay, that's what we intended. Yeah, so give it a second. So my guess is likely it won't know that, and it won't be able to read into it because it doesn't see it as, all right, fair enough. So we do our best to open a document and read inside to see the text, and there you go. Obviously, we can't prevent everything from getting outside the walls of your organization, but we can do as much as we possibly have control over at the transport layer. Question? I could not hear that. Read what kind of files? Yeah, it'll read inside the zip file as well. Yes, this is in the free A2. Free A2 SKU. And I'm just showing you one simple example of that. I mean, you can look at different strings of text combinations inside. Maybe it's a government social security number, or maybe it's specific words. Maybe your medical school is working on some breakthrough medical experiment, and there's a specific code word, and you can set it so they messages with that word can be sent between them, but not to anyone else in the organization. You can get to that level of detail on these DLP policies. And the other cool thing is in Office 365, you can see what rate that exchange that they were hit, that DLP policy that you created was hit. So you can see where it was, how many times it was overrided, if you gave the ability to override a DLP policy. You can kind of look at some analytics and metrics over time. And I'm very confident that there's a session completely on DLP with Exchange. And after the session, I can look in the session guide and point you to that if you want to get more detail on this. All right. So with that, I am going to flip back. Pretty sure I hit it. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to hit this button. Okay. All right. So that was the first half, talking about Office 365 overview. Now I'm literally going to change gears and talk about some of the things that we're doing, upgrades that were going on, and where we're looking at upgrades from now into the future. But I want to take a step. There's many different flavors of education with Microsoft, and this will be a fun test. How many of you are on the new Office 365, the Wave 15, some of the stuff that I just showed? Raise your hand. Okay, no one. Cool. How many of you are on the version right before it, which we call Wave 14, and have not been upgraded to Wave 15 yet? Okay, a few. How many of you are on Live at EDU? Okay. All right, so we just have four or so there. And how many of you are not on Office 365 at all? And okay. And then keep your hand up if you're moving from, like, on-premises Exchange. Okay. All right, so this will be kind of a mix of all of that in these different scenarios. So, I don't want to, if there's only four people that are going to benefit from the slides at the end, just come and go. I'll probably hit the general upgrades first, talk about the Wave 14 to 15 upgrade, and then I'm going to finish with a bit on Live at EDU. And I'm happy to take questions along the way as long as we finish in the right time amount. As it pertains to your institution, or again, I'm going straight down to the booth after and I'm happy to answer. So as we look at upgrades for Office 365, holistically, traditionally we've done major upgrades. We work on a product for, two or three years, and then we do this mammoth exercise of integrating it into our online service and then upgrading everybody. That's not going to be the wave of the future. That's where we're at right now. But that's not what we're working towards moving forward. We want to have regular, consistent upgrades on a monthly, on a quarterly basis and add new capabilities. Like right now, we're, even in the last, this month, we announced Office for iOS devices coming out. We announced DirSync with password synchronization. There's a bit more with DirSync, at a very specific level, capabilities coming up. But we're adding these capabilities on a very regular basis, and we're going to continue doing that. And we want to make it easy, as we roll out a feature, make it easy for organizations to actually pilot that before rolling out to their entire organization. So if we, let's just say, I'll use SkyDrive Pro because that's kind of simple in my mind, that we upgrade in the background the SharePoint environment. It's available, SkyDrive Pro is available to you, but you might be concerned about the help desk calls that you're going to get. So you want to try it out first to kind of get your help desk comfortable with it so you can roll it out just to them first before rolling that feature out to your entire organization. While we don't do that holistically across the board right now, that is where we want to get to, where you can quickly and easily pilot these before rolling it out. But we also have, along the way, we'll have these major things, architectural changes that are able to get us to that next level, to maintain higher level of security, to maintain a higher uptime percentage, things like that. So we will have bigger upgrades that we're doing along the way, but we want to make them as less painful for your organization as possible, as minimal impact. And so I know that with the upgrades that we're doing right now, there kind of are. Like our Live at EDU to Office 365 upgrade. Live at EDU is based on our consumer Live ID infrastructure, and we're literally doing surgical work to pull the Live ID, you know, provisioning information off those users to move them to Office 365. They're having to move and change their federation and directory synchronization tools. But with our major upgrade off Wave 14 to Wave 15, you know, it's less impact on the administrator, but it's a whole new UI for end users. So there's a bit of change that the users are going to go through, which kind of means more help desk calls. So we take this into mind as we're looking at the future and implementing new features into the service. So as we take a lens and look at just the Office 365 Wave 14 to Wave 15 upgrade that we call it internally, but this is our new Office experience. You know, we don't see it as a big IT project. What really we're saying there is it should be little to no work for you as an IT administrator. Should be. And for the most part, it is not a big experience. But we are just upgrading in the background. You'll get a notification that says in 30 days your organization is going to be upgraded, and on that 30th day you're upgraded. It's now available to you and your users. What was the online web app experience before? The colors change. It's a kind of a new simple UI, which I showed demoed for you, but it's there when they log in the next day. And we really are focused on no end user disruption, no downtime. When we're doing these upgrades, we don't want it to be a big, okay, we're lifting off this box and, you know, putting over here, and we're having to undo this and undo that. Like, making sure that users can still connect to their email, to the documents in their SharePoint library, is extremely important to us. Yes, we do have a one-time 60-day postponement with the Wave 14 to 15 upgrade. So you'll get that 30-day notice. You can hit postpone, and if you do, your new upgrade date will be the 90th day from the beginning. So 60 days out from that original scheduled date. And then this concept of upgrading on your terms, and I'll get to your question in a sec. You know, it's like for SkyDrive Pro. We are upgrading SharePoint in the background, but we don't just light it up for you. We'll allow you to turn it on when you're ready. And so you can kind of simply look for a spring break or a winter break or a summer break or some for your school where there's a big enough window where you guys can roll it out and test it that meets your needs. You had a question? Okay. Now, on the other hand, we have, it just so happens for schools, apologize ahead of time, we have two upgrades going at the same exact time. We have our Live EDDU upgrade, and I told you a second ago that this is where we're really peeling off of our Live ID consumer infrastructure and moving you to Office 365. I see and hear the passion from schools that they can't wait to get to Office 365. From some of the stuff that I just demoed, it's like, hey, that's cool. I want that. I want it now. How can I get there quickly? And so we're definitely going through that process right now. As we're doing this, we don't have any downtime. We're not focusing on downtime. We're not doing something to our service that takes those users offline. There are unique scenarios, like when you undo and reset up federation for your new organization, there's like a little window outage depending on where you're at from a planning perspective that can be little or less. But there should be no end user downtime. They're able to access their email before the upgrade happens, during the upgrade, and after. The work here is for this upgrade is really on the IT administrator, where the 14 to 15 upgrade is really on the end user. This is really on the IT administrator, having to switch directory synchronization tools, having to switch federation implementations, having to change your provisioning scripts and things like that to support Office 365. We know it's not simple, and which is why we have a ton of resources available and a ton of people. My whole job is this. So, I'm happy to take any feedback on the Live EDDU upgrade. But before I jump to the next slide, the rest of this session is really to drill down and talk about the Live EDDU upgrade. I know there were five hands, and so I don't necessarily know if everyone wants to see this, so I'm happy to talk about it still. If you guys want to stay, I'm happy to keep you here and chat. But if you had unique questions for me, come down to the booth. I'm going to go straight there right after this session, and I'm happy to chat about anything you guys want to chat about. So specific to the Live at EDU upgrade experience and overview, we're doing a bit in the background from an admin perspective. We're requiring administrators to, like I said here, you know, do a couple things, you know, resetting domain management. They're going to lose co-branding. During the upgrade, they're not able to manage the domains, add and remove domains. The institution address and phone will be set in place, and they'll no longer be able to enable SSO. But once they click the upgrade button, that's really what we're doing. We're doing that in the background and upgrading you to Office 365. From an end user perspective in the preparation stage, there's really nothing that they need to do. You as the school, if they were accessing via outlook.com, where the update is to outlook.com/domain name, and so you may need to communicate that. But if you have a single sign-on portal, you're probably editing that information in your single sign-on portal, so it's really no change to the end user, how they access their email. But again, when you start the upgrade, just make sure that the URL you're connecting to is correct on your single sign-on site. Okay, so what's Microsoft's job in this specific upgrade? Before the upgrade starts, we're doing a ton of heavy lifting. We're doing a ton of heavy lifting right now preparing users. We're ripping the live IDs off. We're prepping the Office 365 environment with the directory objects, creating the users over here. While you can't access that, it's there. It's ready to go so that when you hit the upgrade, it basically just reconnects the new directory objects to the mailboxes. And that's kind of what we do here. But once the upgrade starts, we're doing these things. We're assigning the license. We're decoupling from Windows Live, and we're enabling those, enabling the admin account on Office 365. Just a quick look at some of the upgrade experience when we look at different workloads. So the email, our email, it's not moving. It's staying exactly where it was before and after the upgrade. The only thing we're changing are the items, the objects that they're connected to. So the mail, calendar, contact stays exactly where they are. Windows Live, that is decoupled from the experience and is completely separate. I have a slide dedicated strictly to a dual identity scenario, which is quite interesting. Even if you're not involved in the Live EDU upgrade, it's definitely complex, but it is what it is. Passwords. We actually copy the passwords over from Windows Live over to Office 365, and that's what helps us keep a zero downtime for the end user. You guys have password sync, things like that. We know what the password is in Live at EDU. We're copying it over to Office 365 so that they can continue to gain access to their mail before and after. Provisioning. In Live at EDU, there were very unique directory synchronization tools like office management agents, the OL sync tool, OLMA, things like that, that there's going to need to be some cleanup post-upgrade to fix up some of the AD attributes. And then the provisioning tools for Office 365, we don't support OLMA or OL sync, that they'll need to move to directory synchronization. Or if you want to manage it yourself via PowerShell, you by all means manage all the synchronization via PowerShell. A little bit more complex that way, though. Single sign-on. We had for Live at EDU a single sign-on toolkit for very simple, basic SSO scenarios, but that is not supported on Office 365. The supported federation solutions on Office 365 are ADFS and Shibboleth with SAML 2.0. For the specific schools that have been using SSO so far, we actually created an update to it. It's the toolkit 4.5 that basically allows them to go through a proxy where SSO toolkit will still work for another year or so, that they can continue working, give them a little bit more time to plan for an Office 365 supported federation solution. All right, and then the last one here. It was kind of a subtle reference, but those that are upgrading from Live at EDU are technically going through two upgrades.
So they'll be upgraded from LiveEDDU to Office 365 Wave 14, and then they'll be going through an Office 365 Wave 14 to Wave 15 upgrade. Not ideal, not what we really should be doing, but just due to the complexity and the number, the Wave 14 to 15 upgrade is not just schools upgrading. We've got hundreds of thousands of businesses that we're upgrading through this, and it's a mammoth project that doing one-off scenarios for these upgrades is really hard. We just have to have a very automated process of doing these upgrades so that they get through. It's going to take us a full year to upgrade from 14 to 15. That's how big it is. Okay, I talked briefly about that dual identity scenario. Since we're ripping the Live ID infrastructure off these users and moving them to Office 365, they're going to be left with technically two user identities. So before the upgrade, the provisioning system, it'll create their user ID, sarah@contoso.edu, with a password and, you know, that kind of stuff. So she'll be able to access Skype, she'll be able to access SkyDrive, and her Exchange Online email. But after the upgrade, we're ripping them apart. She'll be left with the same username and password on both services. So to gain access to Skype and SkyDrive and things like that, the Windows Live services, she'll be able to still do that with sarah@contoso.edu with the same password. With Exchange or Office 365, sarah@contoso.edu with the same password. That's a Microsoft account. This is an organization ID. Now, that's all well and perfect right after the upgrade's done. But with Office 365, by default, we have a policy that forces the password change every 90 days. And so after 90 days, effectively, these two passwords will be out of sync. So it is what it is. We don't have control over the Microsoft account. That is the user's account, not the institution's account. This is what the institution has control over. And so there, you could get help desk calls. But what we're going to do, they can still go and ask to reset the password. It's going to email the user on file for that Microsoft account, which so happenly is your Office 365 email address. So when they ask to change the password on the Microsoft account, they'll get an email in their Exchange Online environment. I created a 2-minute video on this to talk through kind of what the scenario looks like. It's on our LiveEDDU website. If you want to see that more, let me know, and I can get you the link to that. Yes. Yes, I have no doubt. Yes, yeah, I completely agree. And you're going to get the help desk calls, not me. And that's why we're creating as much information as we can so you can educate students to say, here's where to go, here's how to get the new password, here's what the two accounts look like. You own this one, we own this one. Just is what it is. And I mean, the other option was to just delete that Microsoft account, but then they don't have access. Where'd all my documents go that are in SkyDrive? Or where'd all my contacts go in Skype? You know, it. Yes. So the question, can they change the email address for the personal account? Here at sarah@contoso.edu. Sarah can go in there and change it to sarah@sarah.foo. It's just an identity name, right? Now, when she does that, though, she'll have a new name, and it'll really be separate, and she can manage that. If she had contacts in Skype, things like that, they're gone. So there's just some downstream effect to her making that identity change, but that's just how the Microsoft accounts work if you change them. And the reason I'm going into detail on this is just because there is a lot of questions in these specific situations that we've seen. So system requirements, this is actually specific to Office 365, the new environment as well. Where we were giving system requirements for the LiveEDDU upgrade, we were focusing on where Office 365 was going. So having Internet Explorer 9 and greater is probably the single biggest issue that you might see. You might have a lot of users using IE6 and things like that. Crazy enough, like, people are still out there using old browser versions. But we're in an online world. We're going to be constantly updating. IE is going to be coming out with new. And as we move forward, we're going to keep that train of supported browsers and other environments kind of with us to keep it nice and contained. The more browsers we support, the bigger our test matrix is, the less work we can really do to provide innovation in the service. So desktop having Office 2007 or greater. Provisioning, I already talked about this. It requires DirSync now with Office 365, or if you want to manage yourself with your own using PowerShell and things like that. From a single sign-on perspective, need to move to Active Directory Federation Services or Shibboleth with SAML 2.0. But we do have temporary support for this toolkit 4.5. Is there a question? Stretching? Okay, no worries. I did make this mention of this URL change. Outlook.com is changed to outlook.com/domain name with Office 365. So if you have links in your portals and things like that, just make the change in that one location. Quickly here, this not only you can look at what's available for schools, but I wanted to talk about it in reference to the LiveEDU upgrade. LiveEDU, we're upgrading institutions to Exchange Online Plan 1. And I think there's a... So Exchange Online Plan 1 right here. We move them to Exchange Online Plan 1 because email services, all that was part of the terms of use for LiveEDU. We can't just automatically provision SharePoint and Link. You have to accept that before you can provision there. So we move you to Exchange Online Plan 1. Then you go and accept the new online services agreement for Office 365, and then all of a sudden you'll have the A2, A3, and A4 options available to you if you want to go. Question? Do you have to relaunch a second mailbox? Yes. So we're going to move you and assign the Exchange Online Plan 1 license to everybody. But once you accept the MOSA, by the way, you don't have to move off EOP1. But once you move to one of these, you do have to go and relicense everybody. So if you have provisioning tools, things like that, bulk provisioning, that you'll need to take that into mind. This is our free offering. Again, you get your email, calendar, contacts, tasks, IM presence. You get SharePoint, being able to doc creation, storing, multiple people editing the documents at the same time. But we do have, A3, which some schools are going, like for their faculty and staff and things like that. What we're really adding here for a very small price is the ability to gain the Office Pro Plus suite as a subscription. So they'll get the full Office suite for those users. And we also add e-discovery. So some of our e-discovery capabilities are also available in the E3 SKU. Okay, and then A4 is really about enterprise voice, and you just have to ask if you're a distance learning institution, that might be a little more attractive to you, but not required. Question?
Explain a bit more about this e-discovery.
E-discovery, so let me, might be easiest if I... I love Bing.com. Okay, so if I go to the plans for education and I'm going to compare the plans. Okay, so you have the various features in here, but one of the features down here is our eDiscovery console. Basically, and I did not demo this, I'm more than happy to show it to you down at the booth if you want to get a little deeper on it. But there's basically gives you the ability to do searches across SharePoint, Exchange, Link, file shares, and things like that, and store each of those search requests in the portal where you can go back to them. You can set legal hold or item level hold on those messages. So even if the faculty member deleted messages to try and cover their trail, it's still saved in the back end. They think they're deleted, but your search is still able to find those messages that are even set for legal hold. So some of those capabilities. E-discovery. Okay, I think we're close to finished here. Last slide. So some of the resources and support, like I said, it's a big project to do these upgrades, and we provided a lot of resources available. So we have a whole LiveEDU upgrade center. We actually have one for the 14 to 15 upgrade as well. We have facts available on, I think you can, for the 14 to 15 upgrade, you can go to community.office365.com and get to it via that way. But here, you know, we have support. We have partners that we are working with to actually help schools along through the upgrade, especially where DirSync, ADFS, provisioning, those three scenarios are going to be kind of big for some schools that they're engaging with partners. We have support 24/7, 7 days a week in 30 languages around the world. So, you know, pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll resolve it as fast as we can. There's some things that, you know, we can't do that fast. Like, I want to upgrade now. Well, we can't always tell you, yes, you're able to upgrade right this moment. But we're working on it. And then, yeah, support, partners, yeah, all these different resources that we have available. One thing I think I left off, the upgrades, just from a timing perspective. The LiveEDU upgrades, we're going to be done. We've been doing them for a year now. We're going to be done at the end of September. So if you haven't upgraded yet, you're going to be upgrading shortly, and so get prepared. For the 14 to 15 upgrade, we're going to be done those upgrades by the end of the calendar year. So again, there's stuff coming fast and furious this calendar year, new capabilities. For the 14 to 15 upgrade, you don't really need to get prepared for it, except maybe, you know, familiarize yourself with the new features and capabilities, but that's about it. The LiveEDU upgrade is a little bit more work for your IT staff. But with that, just a quick overview, you know, what we have available for schools with Office 365. I've covered a lot of these. You know, run it on your own terms, security without promise, get it access on any device, size doesn't matter. And I appreciate your sticking around till the end, even if maybe LiveEDU wasn't your thing. Feel free to evaluate. I wish I could have broken this up into two dedicated sessions where I can dive deeper on each one, but this was the surface level view, and I appreciate your time. I'll be downstairs right after this, so come talk to me if you want to. Thanks.